live from Northwest Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app. 95.7 St. Croix Country. WSCM Baldwin. Your home for country favorites and classics. This is 95.7 St. Croix Country.
This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
Did you know that even if you often hit the gym, sitting for extended periods could be silently sabotaging your health?
For individuals that were meeting the current recommended guidelines for physical activity, but sitting for 8+ hours, a majority of their day, it wasn't enough to really bring them out of those increasingly higher risk categories when it came to cholesterol and BMI.
Then, recent research finds a link between social media and rising depression symptoms in preteens.
They really try to keep you on the platform. Even if you wish not to spend 3 or more hours a day on it, the algorithms, I think, can suck you in. So I do think part of it is in the design as well.
Those two stories and more are straight ahead on this edition of InfoTrack. Stay with us. The show begins right after this.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks, to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In a world parched for excitement, one drink will emerge. Twisted Tea, the refreshing thrill ride of flavor. Recreating its classic role as the hard iced tea that goes down smooth. Twisted Tea doesn't just taste like real iced tea, it's made with real brewed tea and a 5% kick of alcohol. Taste the adventure with Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
The Home Depot has fast, free delivery on the perfect gift to help Dad do more this Father's Day. Because Dad is more than just a dad. He's groundskeeper of the yard, the perfecter of the patio, and the cleaner of the clippings. Power Dad's doing with Ryobi cordless outdoor power tools from The Home Depot. Like the Ryobi 40-volt string trimmer kit for $159. For everything Dad is, find the perfect gift at The Home Depot. Subject to availability, see homedepot.com/delivery for more details.
Now at Verizon, we have some big news for your peace of mind, for all our customers, existing and new. We're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan and my home. That's future you peace of mind. And everyone can save on a brand new phone on my plan when you trade in any phone from one of our top brands. That's new phone peace of mind. Because at Verizon, whether you're already a customer or you're just joining us, we got you. Visit Verizon today. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply for all offers.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
You may work out, but if you sit all day, your heart may still be at risk. Brian Bruhlman is lead researcher and doctoral candidate at the University of California, Riverside, Department of Genetics, Genomics, and Bioinformatics. And he joins us to explain why getting up might be the healthiest move you make today. Ryan, what inspired this study on the effects of sitting, especially in younger adults?
I was really interested in this from a personal standpoint a little bit. Admittedly, during the COVID pandemic, I found myself sitting a little bit more, but talking with others around me, and I found even for younger individuals going to college or starting out their early careers, they had mentioned sitting a lot too, and it seemed to become more pervasive during the COVID pandemic.
How is sitting for 8 or more hours a day, how does that impact cholesterol and BMI?
What we found is that higher levels of sitting is associated with higher levels of cholesterol and BMI. And really what that's getting at is just sitting for a long period of time puts your body in a state of kind of where things are a little bit fragmented. You're not burning as many calories. You're just doing things that are not promoting getting up and moving around, which is good for your circulatory system. And that helps to normalize cholesterol levels, but then also burning those calories, which is really integral when it comes to things like BMI.
Were you surprised that even active individuals were negatively affected by long sitting hours?
yeah, it was very interesting to see that there are good impacts for bringing down cholesterol levels, BMI, that are not surprising when you look at increasing physical activity times. But it was interesting to see that for individuals that were meeting the current recommended guidelines for physical activity, but sitting for 8+ hours, a majority of their day, it wasn't enough to really bring them out of those kind of increasingly higher risk categories when it came to cholesterol and BMI.
Ryan, how did you isolate sitting as a cause for increased BMI, independent of factors like diet and smoking?
In our models, we do ask participants if they are current smokers. We try to get an idea of what their diet is. Diet's a little tricky to get an idea, but we did get an idea of at least fruit and vegetable intake, so getting at a healthy diet. And then we included those. We included diet, we included smoking. We also controlled for their age as well as their gender as well. And those were included in the model. So those were all factored out on their own. But then looking there, sitting still stuck out as significant.
We're talking with Ryan Bruhlman, who is a researcher, lead researcher, and we're talking about this study of how sitting for too long every day is not good for your body. Ryan, what kind of activities would you say count as moderate versus vigorous in your study?
Yeah, moderate and vigorous are kind of a tough distinction, but I always tell people to kind of think about when you're doing a certain type of physical activity, if you could have a conversation with someone next to you while you're doing it, then it's generally going to be moderate or lower. If you feel like you're doing some type of physical activity, you know, you might start sweating a little bit, but you could still have a conversation, it's likely moderate. If you're doing something where it's tough, it's challenging, you can't say more than a word or two at a time, you can't have a conversation with someone next to you, it's probably more so leaning towards vigorous activity.
And what role did self-reported data play in the research, and how reliable is it?
Self-report was, we gleaned that when it came to sitting as well as physical activity. That was all based on self-report. Now, there have been studies that have brought up, is the self-report reliable? Is it not? And we have used self-report metrics that kind of glean at sitting at different times, different modalities. So at work, while they're traveling to different places. So we try to ask multifaceted questions, which tends to be much more reliable than just asking them, how many hours a day do you sit in general? Same thing with the physical activity. We kind of ask detailed questions to get at that, and that helps. But definitely further research is needed, particularly looking at things like fitness tracker data, whether it be with a Fitbit or an accelerometer or something like that, to kind of help back up these findings.
Now, can doing vigorous exercise make up for a sedentary lifestyle? For example, watching television for 6 or 8 hours at night? Or is reducing sitting time more effective?
So what we found is that really, ideally, what you want to do is reduce that amount of sitting time. That is just kind of the number one thing, that if you can reduce it, especially kind of so that way it's not the majority of your day, that's really optimal. But I understand that for some people, their jobs may not allow that, or you know, you get home from a long shift and you've had to sit at work all day and you're exhausted. But really what's key is if you can't reduce that sitting time, if it's just not feasible, really amping up that vigorous activity, going above and beyond what might be recommended. And generally 10 minutes a day is what's recommended. So if you're sitting for a long period of time, you might want to just run an extra mile or do a little extra rowing on a rowing machine or whatever vigorous activity you might do.
Did you notice any gender differences in how sitting affected cholesterol and BMI?
We did control for sex. There were some significances when it came to males versus females, but overall, sitting seemed to impact both of them, regardless of whether it was BMI or the cholesterol measures.
So what practical advice would you offer to younger adults listening who feel healthy, but they sit most of the day?
Yeah, I would just tell the younger adults, don't think that you're invincible. You know, you're young, and keep yourself young and in good overall health by thinking about your sitting times. Talk to your doctor about it or other health professionals and think about, how can I reduce my sitting time? Whether it be I get a standing desk. Oh, I get up during my lunch hour and do a little walking around after I eat something or before I eat something. Just finding little ways to reduce that sitting time, getting up and moving around a little bit, because every little bit does help. And really communicating with your doctor about sitting time is a good step as well, even at your early ages, whether it be 20s, 30s, or beyond.
So I have to ask, having done this research, has this changed your lifestyle at all?
Yes, I definitely do have a standing desk now. So I alternate between the sitting and standing. Every once in a while, people on the Zoom calls will hear a whir, and it's just me moving my desk up. So yeah, I've definitely done that. And I've also found that the vigorous activity really does help break up things. If I've had a long day of work and I go for a run, I almost give it like a plumbing analogy. You know, your pipes are clogged, so to speak. Not to say that your arteries would be clogged, but just that things kind of feel a little bit stagnant. And I think that that vigorous run, the vigorous activity that I do, at least, I feel much more clear-minded after. It really does feel better overall.
Good advice. Ryan Bruhlman, lead researcher and doctoral candidate at the University of California, Riverside. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Next, social media is linked to preteen depression. That story, straight ahead.
You're listening to InfoTrack. More after this.
Progressive knows if you have to choose between everyday life and your boat, boat wins.
What are you going to do? Take the boat out for a spin or go mail something?
Boat wins!
Are we cleaning the patio or taking the boat out fishing?
Boat wins!
Are we skipping that eye exam to go sailing?
Boat wins!
Rescheduling eye exams can be a nightmare.
All right, fine. Eye exam, then boat.
Yeah!
With Progressive, you can bundle your boat with your home or auto and save with a discount and spend more time enjoying those savings on your boat. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states and situations.
If Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea was your best friend, it would be the kind of friend that starts an impromptu dance party in the supermarket aisle, that turns into an all-day pool party rager at your place, and you don't even own a pool. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea turns any day into a legendary adventure. It's smooth and refreshing real iced tea with just the right kick of alcohol. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
This Father's Day, help Dad be all he can be with a gift from the Home Depot. Because he's not just Dad, he's the handyman of the house, the plumber in a pinch, and the emergency mechanic. Upgrade his gear this Father's Day with the Husky Mechanics 270-piece tool set from the Home Depot. Now on special buy for $119, a $695 value. For every kind of dad, find the perfect gift this Father's Day at the Home Depot.
Now at Verizon, we have some big news for your peace of mind. For all our customers, existing and new, we're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan and my home. That's future you peace of mind. And everyone can save on a brand new phone on my plan when you trade in any phone from one of our top brands. That's new phone peace of mind. Because at Verizon, whether you're already a customer or you're just joining us, we got you. Visit Verizon today. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply for all offers.
Now, back to InfoTrack. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
If you use social media, you've no doubt noticed how its algorithms can keep you hooked. InfoTrack reporter Gina Tedesco has the story. Gina?
Thank you, Chris. Joining us now is Dr. Jason Nagata, associate professor in the University of California, San Francisco's Department of Pediatrics. Dr. Nagata, you found that as preteens used more social media, their symptoms of depression increased. Can we go so far as to say that this proves social media use causes depression in kids?
I do think that one of the big unanswered questions in the field is, what comes first? Does social media lead to higher risk of depression? Or is it just that kids who are already depressed using social media more? Our study, which included almost 12,000 preteens, followed them for 3 years, did find that rises in social media use, and we found big rises on average in the sample, social media use increased 10 times from 7 minutes to over 70 minutes. That then predicted future rises in depression, and we were able to see this over time. Now, does this cause? That's a strong statistical question. And I will say that this is a risk factor. And so, you know, there are many other things that can lead to depression, like genetics or the pandemic or other big factors. I do think that social media is only a risk factor. It doesn't mean that everyone who uses social media will become depressed. But it is a behavior that, to some extent, we can change, whereas we may not be able to change genetics or the pandemic. So I do think it's a really important risk factor.
And so if you were to characterize the need to find root causes, including possibly social media use, what would you say, given that the Centers for Disease Control reports the rate of youth suicide nearly doubled in a recent 14-year stretch?
Yes, I do think that, unfortunately, rises in depression do also eventually lead to rises in suicide in some teens. And actually, in our study, we did find specifically that experiencing cyberbullying or being bullied on social media was linked with a greater than 2 times greater risk of attempting suicide the following year. So I do think that it is implicated even in the suicide youth crisis.
So cyberbullying would be a marker or a potential contributor to depression in kids. What about disrupted sleep or some of the other reasons why social media might increase symptoms of depression in kids?
Sleep is absolutely so important for mental health as well as physical health. We already know that most teenagers don't get enough sleep, and social media definitely can displace that. We found that kids who use social media right before bedtime, it leads to less sleep overnight and also poorer quality sleep. And I do think that that can lead to worse mental health.
And what were some of the other depressive symptoms that your study noted?
Other than feelings of sadness or loneliness, depression can be more subtle. So that can also lead to just loss of energy or changes in appetite or just loss of interest in other activities. So I do think that depression can present in many different ways in both teenagers and in adults.
Now, your study did show that when kids showed increased symptoms of depression, that did not predict a later increase in social media use, to your point before. So does this simply deepen our understanding of depressed kids' habits? Or if not, what's the takeaway?
Social media is not inherently good or bad. There are some risks and there are some benefits. In terms of benefits, ideally, some kids are able to use social media to connect, communicate with others, and develop good relationships. But I do think that for some youth, it can lead to more depression, and paradoxically, it can lead to more isolation or more feelings of isolation. And the more time you're in front of your screen or your phone, that may replace time that you're actually talking to people in real life face to face. So I do think that if there are warning signs of depression that parents are seeing, or if there's warning signs that phone use or social media use is actually leading to distress, conflict, withdrawal from activities that otherwise your child would be engaging in, those are potentially reasons to ask more about it and potentially get more help.
We're visiting with Dr. Jason Nagata, associate professor in the University of California, San Francisco's Department of Pediatrics. He led a research team into social media and kids' depression. The Journal of the American Medical Association's Network Open published the study. Now, let me pick up on this question you were just raising. Broadly speaking, that there's positive social media, if you will, and negative. It seems that kids would choose the good, so to speak, social media because that feels good. So why do they consume any of the quote-unquote bad social media at all?
Some of it is out of our control. I do think that the platforms, you know, they're designed to keep you on them. And so there are addictive qualities to them for not only kids, but for adults. I think we've all experienced it. You know, the algorithms are very smart. They keep you engaged in content that, you know, you've shown based on your search history or your engagement to like. And so there are ways that they really try to keep you on the platform. And so I do think that to some extent, even if you wish not to spend 3 or more hours a day on it, like there are ways that the algorithms, I think, can suck you in. So I don't think it's all just on kids. And, you know, if they had a choice, I think many of them would not, you know, doom scroll. So I do think part of it is in the design as well.
And are these addictive aspects present in, shall we say, favorable social media sites, in addition to the ones that are kind of negative, bad?
I wouldn't even say that there are certain platforms that are favorable or not. I do think that it has to do a lot with the content and the context. So even on a single platform, there could be positive content that makes kids feel connected, or, you know, messaging ways that they can connect with peers. But at the same time, the more they're messaging or interacting with people, they could get cyberbullied. They could also have negative interactions that could make them feel worse about themselves. And, you know, when you're being inundated with images and videos of your peers, you know, some of the videos may make you feel good, but some of them may make you constantly compare your own body to another's, and that maybe could lead to lower self-esteem or lower body image. So I think that, you know, it goes both ways. It's a double-edged sword.
You know, doctor, this really reminds me of young people who are abused, physically abused, and they come to a place in time where they think that they cannot break away from the abuser, that it's somehow their fault or that they deserve it. Is there a dimension of that, do you believe? And it's speculation. Is there a dimension of that in why children may remain on some sites that are perhaps more negative than not, even if they know that they should not subject themselves to abuse?
So we actually asked about elements of addiction, and a large proportion of these teenagers did say that they are still using these sites despite the fact that they're trying to quit or they're trying to reduce their use, but they're still using it. So to some extent, they have the intention of reducing their use, but they just can't. You know, there's a lot of element of this fear of missing out. Like, on the one hand, you can get bullied or cyberbullied on the media, but on the other hand, if you're completely off, you know, maybe you're not being seen by your peers, or, you know, there's a big fear of missing out on what's going on.
Now, we have a lot of parents listening to this show. What advice would you, a parent, give them on keeping social media healthy for their kids?
In our study, actually, we found that the top predictor of children's screen use is actually their parents' screen use. So the top advice I have is actually to try to model the behaviors that you want, you know, practice what you preach. And I know it's so hard. I am on my phone a lot, and we actually have a household rule now that at the dinner table, we put phones away and we try to be present, and we actually have the kids help enforce that for the adults. And I think they get a kick out of that, because to some extent, we're all struggling with balancing our devices. The other two sort of key times that it may be useful to try to put limits on phones and social media are at bedtime, just because we know of the impacts on sleep, and then also potentially at mealtime, like I had mentioned. If you have time for meals where you can just connect in person, that can just promote connection and conversation. And there also have been studies that show that kids and adults tend to overeat if they're distracted in front of screens.
Very interesting information. And I also understand the American Academy of Pediatrics at healthychildren.org has tools available to help parents and kids, don't they?
Yes, they recommend a family media plan, which is an acknowledgement that there's not a one-size-fits-all solution. The rules that you may have for a household depend on the age of your kids, what devices are around, and what you need for communication. So that tool allows you to look at some of the rules, which could include restricting use at bedtime or mealtime, and making it a little bit more personalized for your household and what fits for you.
Again, that's healthychildren.org. Dr. Jason Nagata with the University of California, San Francisco, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In a world parched for excitement, one drink will emerge. Twisted Tea, the refreshing thrill ride of flavor. Recreating its classic role as the hard iced tea that goes down smooth. Twisted Tea doesn't just taste like real iced tea, it's made with real brewed tea and a 5% kick of alcohol. Taste the adventure with Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
A balanced look at today's most important issues. This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
That efficient clothes dryer in your home is using a lot of energy, but what's the alternative? Should we return to old-fashioned line drying? The results of recent research might surprise you. InfoTrack reporter Roy Mackey has the details. Roy?
Thank you, Chris. Our guest is Shelley Miller, professor at the University of Michigan School for Environment and Sustainability and professor and co-director of the UM Center for Sustainable Systems. Professor Miller, your study highlights that U.S. household dryers consume about 3% of residential energy, costing over $7 billion annually. What inspired you to focus on clothes dryers as a significant energy and emissions issue?
It turns out that clothes drying is a uniquely American thing. When you go to the rest of the world, clothes drying in houses is actually pretty rare. You see line drying many other places, you know, drying rooms, laundromats, but it's really actually a uniquely American thing to see household dryers in pretty much every home. And since they take up a good bit of energy and money, we decided that we wanted to see what the effects are.
Your research found that 100% line drying could save a household over $2,100 and cut CO2 emissions by more than 3 tons over a dryer's lifetime. Can you walk us through how you calculated those savings?
We really looked at if you had a natural gas dryer in your house and you decide, all right, hey, it breaks, what would actually happen if we went to 100% line drying? And so over the course of the appliance, it probably costs you about $2,100 to operate the natural gas on that. Depending on where you live, if you did an electric dryer, that's going to be either more or less expensive. So it can add up in terms of overall household costs. It's probably not going to be something that you notice in a major way. But it's certainly something that can stack up from an economic perspective. If you're trying to save a little bit on your energy bill every month, thinking about line drying or just drying a little less frequently can potentially add up.
Now, is most of this line drying outdoors? Because certainly in the wintertime in many areas of the country, that might not be so practical.
Exactly. So we did look at a couple of different scenarios. We said, all right, what if you have sort of a clothesline in your house that you set up or one of those drying racks and use that all the time? But we know that that's probably not practical for most people. And so we said, all right, what if you only dry when the weather's nice outside? And what does that look like? And pretty much whenever you don't use the drying service, you get a decent amount of energy and economic savings.
You also mentioned switching from gas to electric dryers could reduce emissions and save some money, but you said it also can be more expensive in some areas. Can you explain all that?
Sure. So one of the other reasons we looked at this study is when we talk about going to environmentally friendly options, we're often tend to get focused on technologies. So is it better to have an electric dryer or a gas dryer? Or what is a more efficient dryer? What does that look like? One of the things we really wanted to explore is saying, well, what if we took technology out of it and just focused on line drying or using the drying service less? Because when you actually get into some of the difficulties of, you know, do you use an electric dryer or a natural gas dryer, it really depends on the part of the country you are. And so it depends on what your electricity service is, how much of it is fossil fuels, and how much of it is renewables.
What are the environmental benefits of this?
A lot of people have asked, you know, why dryers? That just seems like such a random appliance. It turns out that any heating source actually is disproportionately energy intensive. Heating your house is really the energy hog, but water heating and heating air in terms of clothes dryers are actually big energy consumers as well. And so even though it's only maybe 3% of your household energy use, number one, it can add up in your household, but overall across the country, it can add up as well. And so it could result in 27 million tons of carbon dioxide emission equivalents for dryers overall in the U.S. And compared to our overall emissions, that's pretty low, but it's still about 0.5%, which isn't nothing.
And just to kind of wrap things up, is there one key takeaway that you'd like to leave our listeners with from your study?
Yeah, so I think it's just really trying to think through how we consume energy and trying to find the little things in our lives that we can reduce energy, but also not to sweat small stuff too much.
Professor Shelley Miller from the University of Michigan School for Environment and Sustainability, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
And that's it for this edition of InfoTrack. Special thanks this week to InfoTrack reporters Gina Tedesco and Roy Mackey, and our executive producer, Randy Meyer. I'm Chris Whitting, inviting you to join us next time on another edition of InfoTrack.
was driving through Georgia in late July on a day hot enough to make the devil sigh. I saw a homemade sign written in red, Rhine County Watermelon Festival ahead. Well, I wasn't in a hurry, so I slowed down, took a two-lane road to a one-horse town. There was a party going on. When I got there, I heard a welcome speech from a small-town man. He said, we got 100 gallons of sweet red wine made from the biggest watermelons on the vine. Help yourself to some, but obey the law. If you drink, don't drive, do the watermelon crawl. Me by the arm, said, come on, let's go. She dipped down, spun around, and do-si-do. She rocked back on her heels, dropped down to her knees, crawled across the floor, then she jumped back on her feet. She wiggled and she jiggled, beat all you ever saw. Said, this is how you do the watermelon crawl. She said, we got 100 gallons of sweet red wine. If you're ever down in Georgia around about July, if you ain't in a hurry, then you ought to stop by. I can guarantee that you're gonna have a ball learning how to do the watermelon crawl. Well, we got 100 gallons of sweet red wine made from the biggest watermelons on the vine. Help yourself to some, but obey the law. If you drink, don't drive, do the watermelon crawl.
Twin Cities to Menominee. You're in 95.7 St. Croix Country.
My baby, she's Alabama, a Dixieland delight. Kissing me like molasses, slow and sweet, just right. She's an endless all your summer, yeah, sunshine 365. When she forgets the punchline, it still gets me every time. Cause I love every little thing about her. Love, just a little, ain't enough. I gotta get her, need a little more of all she does. I'm all up for everything, but she only dressed down for me. And I love somebody's dream girl, but she's all mine. And I love in the water, in the sand, not a worry in the world, a cold beer in my hand. Life is good today, life is good today. Well, a plane touched down just about 3 o'clock, and the city's still on my mind. Bikinis and palm trees danced in my head, I was still in the baggage line. Concrete cars with their own prison bars, like this life I'm living in. But the plane brought me farther, I'm surrounded by water, and I'm not going back again. I got my toes in the water, in the sand, not a worry in the world, a cold beer in my hand. Life is good today, life is good today. Yeah, I'm leaving GA. And if it weren't for tequila and pretty senoritas, I'd have no reason to stay. Adios and via con Dios. Yeah, I'm leaving GA. Gonna lay in the hot sun and roll a big fat one, and grab my guitar and play. Days flew by like a drunk Friday night as the summer drew to an end. They can't believe that I just couldn't leave, and I bid adieu to my friends. 'Cause my bartender, she's from the islands, her body's been kissed by the sun. And coconut replaces the smell of the bar, and I don't know if it's her or the rum. I got my toes in the water, in the sand, not a worry in a world, a cold beer in my hand. Life is good today, life is good today. Adios and via con Dios, a long way from GA. Yes, and all the muchachas, they call me Big Papa, when I throw pesos their way. Adios and via con Dios, a long way from GA. Someone do me a favor and pour me some Jaeger, and I'll grab my guitar and play. Adios and via con Dios, going home. Senoritas don't care when there's no dinero. Yeah, I got no money to stay. Adios and via con Dios, going home now to stay. Just gonna prop up by the lake and put my in a lawn chair, toes in the clay. Not a worry in a world, a PBR on the way. Life is good today, life is good today.
That was a 10-year train wreck. star in the pitch black. Shine the way on the way back. Out of nowhere, answered all my prayers. Picked up the towel that I threw in. Took in a heart that was ruined. Show me the past ain't a tattoo. Love me even when you didn't have to. Yeah, I know you didn't leave me lonely. Went the one and put the heartbreak on me. Picked up the pieces. It wasn't the mess that you made. Could have left me just the way you found me. But you came and put your wings around me. Girl, you went out of your way to fix what you didn't break. Can't fix what you didn't break.
Tell your friends you want to hear St. Croix Country.
For WSCM News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Republicans are still working to limit the governor's partial veto power after failing to do it in court. On Wednesday, lawmakers testified on their proposed resolution seeking an amendment to the state constitution to limit the governor's veto power to only full sections of an appropriations bill or to reduce spending. In order to make the change in the state constitution, the resolution needs to pass in consecutive legislative sessions and be put on a ballot referendum. Currently, the governor has the power to veto numbers, words, and punctuation in spending bills. Republican state lawmakers are proposing new legislation that would create a pilot program for the use of virtual reality technology in schools. Under the pilot program, the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction would select one urban, one suburban, and one rural school district and distribute 32,000 VR headsets to 16,000 students. The goal is to use the headsets to get those students more engaged in math lessons. Similar programs in other states have seen success with using VR technology to improve math scores. City of Menominee officials are reminding area residents that Phase 2 of the Pine Avenue construction project is set to get underway on Monday. According to a social media post, Phase 2 of the project will require the closure of Pine Avenue from Game Park Road to the Wakanda Elementary School driveway. Pine Avenue will remain open from the driveway to Wilson Street, and a signed detour will be posted directing traffic to John Russell Road, Game Park Road, and 21st Avenue. The Maple Avenue entrance to Wakanda Park will also remain open. Two Republican state lawmakers from western Wisconsin have proposed legislation to purchase and reopen the Libertas Treatment Center in Chippewa Falls. The Substance Abuse Treatment Center closed last year along with the HSHS hospitals and Prevea clinics in the region. Those closures left residents in the region without access to critical health care, including emergency treatment and mental health treatment. The legislation would allocate $1 million of the state budget to purchase and renovate the site. The facility would be operated by Lutheran Social Services. For WSCM News, I'm James Kelly.
St. Croix Country Weather.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Isolated showers and thunderstorms. Low tonight in the upper 50s. High tomorrow in the mid-70s. Monday looks partly sunny and warmer. Muggy as well, with scattered showers and thunderstorms and highs in the mid-80s. Right now, it's 58.
95.7 FM.
If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man. So Raw's enough that both are faded love, and let's all dance. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. I remember down in Houston, we were putting on a show, when a cowboy in the back stood up and yelled, "Hot Night Joe!" He said, "We love what you're doing, boys, don't get us wrong, there's just something missing in your song. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man. So Raw's enough that both are faded love, and let's all dance. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band." So we dusted off our boots and put our cowboy hats on straight. Them Texans raised the roof when Jeff opened up his case. You say y'all all want a two-step, you say you want a do-si-do. Well, here's a fiddling song before we go. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man. So Raw's enough that both are faded love, and let's all dance. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man. So Raw's enough that both are faded love, and let's all dance. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band.
like to do just what I like. I'll take the chance, dance the dance. It might be wrong, but then again it might be right. There's no way of knowing what tomorrow brings. Life's too short to waste it. I say bring on anything.
I ain't here for a long time. I'm here for a good time. So bring on the sunshine, the hair with the red wine. Pour me some moonshine. When I'm gone, put it in stone. He left nothing behind. I ain't here for a long time. I'm here for a good time. I ain't here for a long time. I'm here for a good time. Turn
it up song. All right, boys. This is her favorite song. You know that, right? So we play it good and loud. She might get up and dance again. Oh, she put her beard down. Here she comes, here she comes. Left, 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 right, left. Hustlers shooting eight ball, throwing darts at the wall, feeling damn near 10 feet tall. Here she comes, Lord help us all. OT'd up his girlfriend and slapped him out his chair. Poor old boy, it ain't his fault. It's so hard not to stare at that honky-tonk, but donk-a-donk. Keeping perfect rhythm, make you wanna swing along. Got it going on like Donkey Kong. And shut my mouth, slap your grandma. There ought to be a law. Get the sheriff on the phone. Lord have mercy, how she even get them bridges on? That honky tonk, but donkey donk.
Oh, son.
Now, honey, you can't blame her for what her mama gave her. It ain't right to hate her for working that money maker. Banjo's down at 2. We're hanging out till 3. We'd hate to see her go, but love to watch her leave. With that honky-tonk, but donk-a-donk. Now keeping perfect rhythm, make you wanna swing along. Got it going on like Donkey Kong. And ooh-wee, shut my mouth, slap your grandma. There ought to be a law. Get the sheriff on the phone. Lord have mercy, how she even get barely live.
bonfires are a little like this. Lake life, backyard bonfires, firing up the grill, and 95.7 St. Croix Country.
My spare time and my spare key don't go to your front door. And I don't keep that old Jeep in your driveway anymore. And my toothbrush ain't on your bathroom sink. Haven't been to your side of town in weeks. You're the reason this thing broke, so you should already know. It ain't your place to walk up, say hey. If I met someone or if I didn't, honestly, it's none of your business anyway. 'Cause at the end of the day, it ain't your place to walk up, say hey, ask how I've been at some party. It ain't your place to ask my friends when you see them out if I'm seeing somebody. You don't get to call me up 'cause you're drunk.
From Northwest Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app. 95.7 St. Croix Country. WSCM Baldwin. Your home for country favorites and classics. This is 95.7 St. Croix Country.
I was sitting there selling turnips on a flatbed truck, crunching on a pork rind when she pulled up. She had to be thinking this is where rednecks come from. She had Hollywood written on her license plate. She was lost and looking for the interstate.